Get ready for the 2018 Olympic Winter Games with The Podium, the only podcast with a front row seat to the action in Pyeongchang. I'm Tim Strube. Starting February 8th, our show kicks off with stories of athletes at the top of their game, from the unsung heroes to the biggest stars. Tune in for more all this month on The Podium and listen on Apple Podcasts.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty, turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Today's episode was brought to you by
Entenmann's.
Hi, guys. Hi, everyone. I'm Johnny Weir.
And I am Tara Lipinski.
Apologies for the very official entryway. Tara, put that wine down. We apologize for the very official entry to this podcast, but we're in full commentator mode. We're reporting live from Gangneung, South Korea, the coastal cluster of the Olympics. Pyeongchang is the sort of mountain village where the Olympics take place that you hear about and hopefully saw in the opening ceremonies and hear talked about all the time. But we're actually in a little city called
Oh my God. Johnny just ripped his pants.
Right in the crotch.
Oh my goodness. Wait, so he was just like setting up where we were, you know, and like I think you guys were envisioning, you know, us in this Olympic park, you know, just, you know, looking out over the rings as we're podcasting to you. No, we are in my bedroom sitting on our bed and he went to get off the bed and literally that sound was his entire pants ripping open.
So, guys, the entire seat of my pants has
gone.
Ripped. They're one of my favorite pairs of jeans. They're, you know, they're...
This is a crushing moment.
It's really sad, but I'm gonna carry on with this podcast.
Yeah, let's keep going. So, Johnny, we were just talking about how the last time we spoke to everyone, we were settling in, and now... Sorry, you know what, guys? I just want you guys to know that this little machine is really fun, and I think it gives you guys, like, a clear, crisp sound of our voices, but we are so not technology savvy that if we mess up or if things sound funny, we'd like some feedback. And I know you just probably heard a lot of ruffling, but I think we found out our little stand. We're going to put it on now.
Yeah.
Anyways, Johnny's pants are ripped.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
moving on.
I'm a delicate dame. But guys, a lot's happened since the last time we podcasted. Obviously, we are crusted into the Olympic Games. Tara has spilt Diet Coke pretty much on everything. She's marked her territory, so to speak, by spilling Diet Coke everywhere she's gone.
Mommy fixes
it all. She has this beautiful fuzzy purse that she carries, and a Diet Coke exploded in there. There was a Diet Coke that exploded on her bed today.
You know, I'm just having some issues with the Diet Coke.
Yeah, it's just, maybe it's the size difference in the bottle or something. I don't know, but you knock them down and explode them real easy.
Yeah.
So... the Olympics are in full swing. The opening ceremonies were last night. We watched those on TV together. Hopefully you guys joined us for our coverage of the night preceding the opening ceremony when we covered team figure skating, our first
night of figure skating. First night being in the big booth. We've been waiting for this moment for so long, and it was as magical as we both thought it would be. Okay, so we talked about our booth and how much we love our little NBC nook in our arena, but our makeup room is really fun. I brought in a speaker so we can listen to all our jams to get us pumped up before the show. But something new that we have is boxes and boxes of Entenmann's donuts in our trailer, and it's amazing.
Yeah, they're awesome for a little lift in just some blood sugars, keep us going.
Yeah.
I mean, it requires a lot of energy to go on national television.
I mean, I think it was my good luck charm. Having my chocolate donut right before I went out.
Yeah.
I was like, Johnny, do I have any chocolate on my teeth as we're walking up?
Oh, yeah. She didn't. She was all good. And no lipstick either. But the thing about Entenmann's is that they're a great friend to Tara and Johnny, the award-winning podcast. and we love them. And, you know, Entenmann's is celebrating their 120th birthday in a big way with their I Sing on the Cake sweepstakes.
So go to Entenmann's120birthday.com to enter for a chance to win some really great prizes.
Thank you so much, Entenmann's, for supporting us. And, you know, we want you guys to love Entenmann's as much as we do.
So we woke up very early because, guys, it is live, and that means it's prime time for you, but it's very early in the morning for us. So we arose at 5 a.m.
Yep, we're taking you through the whole day, everyone. Yeah. So tuck in. We're going to tell you how it all pans out. So obviously, Tara and I have been studying for forever to get ready for this Olympic Games. It's not only learning about the names you guys may know, like Yevgenia Medvedeva and Nathan Chen, but we also have to learn about Canada's third lady entry and Kazakhstan's second lady entry and the pair team from North Korea. I mean, there's a lot of people that we have to have, you know, a fingertips understanding of.
Guys, I just tried to eat another fry and I put it back.
she was afraid of disrupting you all. But we have to know pretty much everything about everyone. And when you're thinking 30 ladies, 30 men, 22 pairs, and 24 ice dancers or so, 20 ice dancers.
And I can't remember a short and a long program.
Yeah, it's a lot of information. So we've been studying for a while.
So we have been studying. Let's take you back to our first day. We got to the venue, we had hair and makeup done, and then it was time to be on air. And we have this incredible little booth in the arena. So we have our own little home for the next month. And we're kind of perched up high, but it gives us that bird's eye view. And it felt like home from the moment we sat down. And it was one of those moments. Right before we went on air, I touched Johnny's leg and I was like, this is it.
This is it. We're here.
And it was so much fun. And then being on live is what we love to do. And unfortunately, the men's event, there were a lot of tumbles.
Yeah.
And one thing we should tell them is that skaters are used to performing at night.
Yes.
And competing at night. And this is the first time that everyone's sort of adjusting and skating in the morning. So
they have like a 6 a.m. practice, or their warm-up is at 6 a.m. And then they might go back to the village and rest for a while. And then, you know, all of a sudden by 10 a.m. they're competing for their Olympic dreams. It's kind of a rough schedule. How would you have done as a skater with this?
I don't know. I think that I would have had to adjust. It's one of those things. And as an elite athlete, you get used to things and it's not a big deal. So I think for most of these athletes, it isn't. It's just, you know, well, this is what we do now. But again, it could have been, you know, a little bit of those morning legs that got to these guys during the event.
Yeah. But you know, it is the Olympics and you've got to show up. And something that was tough, because now, guys, we... I like to think of us as commentators, not complimentators. We have an obligation to, you know, be completely honest with what we're seeing. And it was so hard as TV show people to kind of, since we're making a TV show, it's a major network. We're trying to introduce skating, and the guys were just having a really hard time keeping their blades straight and their butts off the ice. So it was hard for us to come on without like that great event to call right away.
Well, I think if anyone didn't watch, Nathan Chen is the huge name here, and it was his first time on Olympic ice, and there was a lot of pressure on him. And I think, you know, the audience was just waiting for this spectacular performance from the Quad King, and it didn't happen. It's not the end of Nathan's chances here whatsoever. I think sometimes people don't realize that they see him skate and they think, oh, it's over for him, or his chances are gone. And it really isn't. And especially with this team event, I think it gives a chance for these skaters to get the jitters out. You know,
right.
This is his first time at an Olympic Games. And we've been talking him up for the last 4 years because he really has changed men's figure skating.
Yeah.
So for you non-skating fans out there, this kid is insane. He is called the Quad King for good reason. He does so many quads in one program, 5 or 6, and he's making all the other men around the world really hustle to keep up with him. And he is a gold medal favorite. So there's a lot of pressure on him. But Johnny and I are really hoping that when we see him in the short program next time, he's just going to kill it.
Yeah.
There's a great little story we might mention on air, but after the event, he went to a practice because he didn't want to finish his day or get off the ice in that way.
Because the last jump he'd done was a fall on a big element.
The last two jumps.
The last two, well, he popped the...
Popped, yeah, you he mean popped two mistakes.
Two big mistakes.
So he went back out on practice, and I thought that was so baller of him. It was like, oh no, I'm not finishing this day like this.
Yeah. Nathan Chen definitely is a name that if you guys aren't watching the Olympics, and you will start after you hear this podcast, you should know his name. He really is brilliant and has so much of an opportunity to be the Olympic champion for the men. It's pretty
exciting.
But it
really could go either way. I mean, that's the great thing about the Olympics, guys, is that you get the best of the best or the worst of the worst, because your nerves, your whole mindset, all the expectation, the pressure, it's riding on this one moment. So either everything falls together, all your training, the mindset and outlook you have, it just is this perfect storm and you create magic out there, or you step on the ice, your legs are shaking, and it's a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, everything really does come down to, I hate to get deep with you guys because, you know, we like to have a lot of fun on this podcast, but, you know, every competition that you guys are going to see during this Olympics is the dedication of a lifetime of each of these young people. And it's so hard, especially in figure skating, because it's a judge sport and to make sense of, but that it all comes down to 6 minutes. And I mean, figure skating is a pretty popular sport, but think about the people that train day in and day out to be great, you know, biathletes, where you ski and you shoot the targets and you get, you know, fifth place in that, and you go for the gold. I mean, there's very little afterlife to a biathlete. I mean, figure skaters, they can tour and they have other opportunities and they can train and stuff. But, you know, the people that ski and shoot, that's a hard thing to do. And it all comes down to this Olympic game. So that's what makes it exciting.
It's like I watched, it's what makes the Olympics compelling, because you really see all these athletes giving up their entire life for these few moments. I mean, look at Ashley Wagner, has spent the last, you know, 4 years working towards this one dream. And, you know, I saw she had a beautiful Toyota commercial on. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's so bittersweet because she wanted to be here competing.
Right.
And it just didn't happen for her.
Yep.
So it's, really heartbreaking, some of these stories that will happen at an Olympic Games.
Right. I mean, I've been that person that goes and has a chance for a medal and they completely blow it. I've been that person. I've been the person that has to deal with the press aftermath of it. And it's tough. I mean, luckily I had another opportunity to go to the Olympics again, but I've been that person and it sucks so bad.
To be watching from the sidelines.
Yeah.
But beyond that, the other parts of the event, there were some really bright moments. The Kinnearums, the U.S. pair team, came out and had a spectacular short program. Obviously, their first Olympics, they're married. It was all that, you know, had all the feels.
Yeah. I mean, guys,
to be honest, all of the men really just struggled.
There was one amazing skate from
Shoma.
From Shoma, and one from Alexei Buchenka. He's from Israel. And nobody thought Team Israel really had a shot in this event. And they're sitting in the top five right now going into the last day of competition. But guys, by the time this actually airs, the team competition will be over. But we're just giving you our insights just as an aside.
Yeah,
but,
so we should move on. Yeah, we just got way too inside skating.
Sorry, guys. Okay, so last time
did we wear? I'm just kidding.
Well, I briefly touched on last time that, you know, my purse was taken.
Oh, yeah.
And let's get back to that, because my purse has now been returned.
Yeah, so this is a miracle.
It's a modern miracle.
It's a Birkin miracle.
And guys, this bag, despite being a Birkin bag, and I save up every year to be able to possibly afford one, and it's an investment, and I just love them. I love the history of these bags, whatever. But this one was particularly special because I can't tell the full story, but, you know, it was very special to me. So more than like losing my passport or my phone or my wallet with the cards in it and my cash, whatever, I was so upset to lose this bag because it's a very special one to me. Anyway, so I tweeted about it and everyone out there was so sweet about like, let's find this bag. We're so sorry you lost your stuff, whatever. And then a few days later, I get a call from NBC security and they tell me, you know what? We found your bag. And in what giant city in the world can you find a stolen purse? I don't care if it's a Birkin bag or if it's a plastic bag that somebody just kind of grabs out of your hand and runs down the street with. How do you find a bag that gets stolen?
I know. It was crazy. I was able to deliver the news, though, because you didn't have a phone. So when they found out, they called me, and I ran over and gave you the news. But anyway, since then, we've been settling into the hotel. Well, I've had a margarita pizza every single night.
I want to thank the Seoul police.
Please do. Yeah, okay,
so,
I'm sorry.
No. So we get a call that they found my bag the next day. It was like the day after we recorded our last podcast. I went to Seoul. It's a 6-hour round-trip drive from where our hotel is. And went to the police station. There were two detectives that had found it, and they were so proud and worked so hard to find it. So a big thank you from me to the Seoul and especially the Gangnam detectives and the police department, and to Olympic and NBC Security for looking after it. I mean, after you lose a bag, you think everyone's just going to forget about it and no one's ever going to see it again.
The bag returned.
And thank you, everyone, for worrying about it. So
let's move on to margarita pizza.
So, T, you've been eating a lot of margarita pizzas here, but I know you made an incredible final dinner back in California for Todd Kapp and you with HelloFresh.
We did. So, actually, I did, and it was a surprise for him because it was our very last meal. He was coming home from work, and I thought it would be one of those special moments where he's like, oh, wow, my wife is so good at cooking. Because if you guys have heard, I'm not the best cook in the kitchen, but the great thing about HelloFresh is that it's so easy to do. Some of the meals take less than 30 minutes, and you can't go wrong because they give you these easy instructions and recipes. So that's what I need. I need exact recipes so I don't make any mistakes, and that's why it's so good. But we did the Juicy Lucy burger because Todd is a big burger fan. So it was so much fun, and I'm really missing it. As we're talking about margarita pizzas here, I'm really missing HelloFresh because I just want it delivered to my hotel room here in South Korea.
Yeah, I mean, that is a really convenient aspect of HelloFresh, is that especially when we were preparing to come over to South Korea for the games, we were so busy and so crazy, and the last thing we had time for was running to the grocery store. So HelloFresh made it really easy for us to order some final pickings before we came over here so that we could enjoy the last remaining days we had with our families and not spend it at the grocery store.
Exactly. And I, you know, Johnny, I'm just going to put it out there, it was probably one of my best, and Todd was really proud of me.
Well done.
So, guys, we love HelloFresh. You got to try it. And, Johnny, you want to let the viewers know what can happen here?
Oh, certainly. I mean, for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter TJ30. Into the special promo code section of the site.
Yes, so $30 off your first week, which is pretty amazing. Yeah. I mean, I'm so hooked on HelloFresh now that it has been an adjustment being without it here in South Korea.
Well, we'll be home soon.
Right.
But we're going to enjoy the Olympic Games until we get back to our HelloFresh.
Yes.
Okay, how many days have we been here in this hotel? Seven, is it? Yeah, seven solid days we've been in this hotel. Terrace had no less than nine margarita pizzas.
Okay, so guys, this hotel is so beautiful. We overlook the ocean. We told you about this last time. But their menu is limited for the non-adventurous eaters. And I fall under that category.
Yeah.
So my options...
We always make fun of Todd Kapp for not being an adventurous eater, but then he eats wild boar and shames us.
And yeah. But there's French fries, which are glorious. Mm-hmm. And then there's a margarita pizza, which is really good. And then there's pasta with tomato sauce. That tomato sauce doesn't taste like tomato sauce.
It's a little sweet.
So I try, but I can't, you know, if I have to like weigh it out, I go with the margarita pizza. And tonight I'm going with a club sandwich because I was like, Johnny, do you think, you know how I worry about my health. I'm like, do you think I'm doing something weird if I have a margarita pizza every single night and possibly also for lunch? Like, what is happening inside my body?
Yeah, it can't be good.
I don't know. And guys.
And she's still tiny. Like, guys, she can eat pizza and still be this tiny little slim thing that can wear a napkin-sized dress on national television. I mean, it's wild. I don't know what sort of voodoo you've done on yourself.
It's the high...
The high stress of the situation. The stress of the naked experience.
The naked experience. I mean, you guys know when you're so busy and you're running around. Like, I look at moms sometimes, and I... Like, some of my friends are moms, and they're skinnier than they were...
Before.
When we were single, just going out to the club. And they are like, Tara, when you have to run around all day long, schlepping your kids everywhere, driving around, you have no time for anything. You want to fit in a workout, whatever it is, and you still have work. You're skinny because you don't have time to eat.
Exactly.
So I'm in that in that mode.
I like plum baby food. Have you ever had baby food?
No.
Were you ever that weird? Okay, so guys, obviously when I was a skater, well, I still am a skater, but, you know, I have trouble fitting into my clothes as easy as
I mean,
once
did. Split his pants.
I just split my pants up.
Oh, no, wait, we gotta say this too. So he comes in today, because we sometimes do outfit checks, and I, like, went into his room, and he'll, like, check out my dress. He came in today in this glorious black blazer. I mean, I mean,
it's beautiful. You guys are going to see it.
It's beautiful. I mean, I don't even know if I'd fit into it. But Johnny fits into it, but it's just a little
snug.
But it's so beautiful. You're going to look like a shining diamond on television.
Here's hoping. But to be completely honest, guys, I couldn't decide between a bow tie and a sparkly harness to wear underneath it. I mean, that's where my brain goes.
Yeah. We'll keep this. Well, they'll already know what you wore, but the bow tie is the winner.
Yeah. Okay, so hopefully you guys all got to see Lip Sync Battle. It was a glorious moment. Obviously, we... Tara's eating fries again. Starving. okay, so Lip Sync Battle. We talked about it, obviously, after we recorded it. That was in October, I think, in L.A. But we couldn't tell you who won, or we couldn't tell you any details about what went on. And truthfully, we both won. Because Tara Lipinski was so solidly prepared on her choreography.
I really got into it.
Yeah, I mean, you went hard.
They were like, you don't have to do it. I was like, no.
No, and I heard Tara making them, the poor dancers, rerun through the performance at least, you know, 15 times.
Another long program. Back-to-back longs.
Yeah, because if you remember, they sequestered us. They wouldn't let us see each other.
Which was miserable. And I was, like, okay with it for the first 10 minutes, and then I was like, where is Johnny?
And then they started to make us try and trash talk one another.
Yeah, didn't work.
Yeah, I'm not going to trash talk this one. So they were trying to do, like,
they kept asking you, I don't know about you, but they asked me, like, 9 different ways. Because I'd be like, and they weren't getting the answer they wanted.
Yeah,
so they finally gave up.
Not going to give it to you. They were like, so, like, trash talk Tara a little bit. Tell us what your advantages are. And I'm like, well, I love Tara.
I know. But I would be like, Johnny's going to do so well and win.
Yeah. I mean.
Which he did.
Sometimes with us, though, because we're Olympians and because we commentate the Olympics, you know, people want us to be really competitive. And that's just not something that we are with one another.
Mm-mm.
So it's funny when they try to make it happen. It's like, stop trying to make fetch happen.
Yeah.
But now you guys know, I did Celine Dion and Lady Gaga. Tara did
brilliant,
All the Way Up. And not All the Way Up.
No, I did. And, All I Do Is Win.
And they say that. And they say that.
Yeah, and I did the Ludacris rap verse, which was fun.
And then Holla Back Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And there were bananas involved. Tara rolled out in a car. My set was gorgeous.
Dessert tables. It was so amazing.
Tara and I, we both wanted the fireplace that they used for my set piece.
Yeah.
For paparazzi. But it was... I was sore for at least two weeks afterwards.
Because I had to do these, like, squat moves.
Yeah.
I couldn't get up the stairs for, like, the next 2 days.
I mean, I was giving full-on catwalk realness and sliding around the floor on my knees. I couldn't use my body properly for 2 weeks after because we went
hard. But it was so much fun. And I, like, we have to call because I want to go back as a duo. Like, they have to do duos at some point. And we should come back. How much fun would that be?
Oh, my God. The song selection alone, we would kill it. But we'd have to go against another famous duo. So it'd have to be, like, I say famous duo, like, we're a famous duo.
Should be
we're
like
a reasonably well-known duo.
There should be two, like, some people may know us.
Yeah, some people might. So we're known enough people duo. So we need, like, another well-known duo.
Speaking of that, we've been doing a lot of dancing since we got here. We talked to you guys about our karaoke moments in Seoul. Yeah. But yesterday, yesterday was one of the best days ever. Because we were on air in the primetime booth for the first time. We had a great show.
And guys, while we brought it up again, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for supporting us. We see all of your Instagram messages and your Twitters and all of your Facebooks, and we see all this stuff. And you know, you guys have been with us since the beginning, and you guys know us, and we're a big family. And when we're out
talking
there,
to you,
when we're out there and we're doing it and we're trying to succeed, you guys are right there with us, and we're so thankful to all of your smiling faces.
Yes.
When we're up there. And how privileged and honored are we?
Yeah. Like, I couldn't get over it. Like, yesterday was one of those days where it was like, pinch me.
Yeah. So we started on primetime broadcast Olympics. giving you guys figure skating truths and realness and loving it. And then we went from there, you know,
back home,
back to the hotel, and Tara and her work ethic. So I don't even know if it'll have come out where it's supposed to come out yet, but we were doing a dance video for a friend.
Yes, a friend that is on TV, and you guys probably love this person.
Yeah, I don't know when it's airing. That's why we can't say who it's for. Just, but if you've already seen it, but then you've seen it.
But we had to do like a little 20-second. They said, just dance. You know, nothing crazy. Of course, I'm like, Johnny.
Tara's an overachiever.
We got to choreograph a dance.
Yeah.
So we went up to the roof. And, oh, side note, Laura Conair.
She's here.
She's here. My assistant, she's here. She was with us in Sochi. She is our partner in crime. And
you know, we've talked about her before, but you guys know
she
loves
fry. French fries.
Yeah.
So you'll see on our posts that if we ever tag her, we put the French fry emoji.
She Laura, doesn't have, like, a weird obsession with French fries. And she's not, like,
she falls under the category of a non-adventurous eater.
Yeah. You know how flamingos turn pink because they eat shrimp?
Yeah.
Laura Conair has not turned into a French fry, but
not
she
yet.
Does. Like, she's not an obsessed with French fry person, but we make fun of her because she eats French fries with the majority of her meals.
Right. Like, I've had a margarita pizza here every night. She's had a French fry.
Yeah.
Every night.
At least the one.
At least 20. But anyway.
But you know, she was good. She took me to Korean version of like a Kmart the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge fan of big box stores where you can buy everything from, you know, your groceries to your coffin all in one place. I like to like shop around. I like to go about and see things and find a boutique. And, you know, I'm that person. So going to a big box store was exciting for me because you can buy literally everything from diapers to coffins, from birth to death, all in one place. And it was Korean, so it was fun. I bought all these crazy face masks, and Laura Conair took me. Tara was overworking herself back in the room. And what was funny is that Conair, there were no fries there, but she got hungry. Conair actually tried tteokbokki, which is this Korean, South Korean...
Oh, good for her.
Delicacy, which is like these rice cakes that are in a very, very, very spicy red sauce. And that's really all it is rice cakes. Not like you would think of. They're soft and kind of mushy like a noodle. Mm-hmm. In spicy sauce, and Conair went for it. She tried it, and she got
good
into it, and
for
she was
her.
Like, "Well, you know, that was spicy, but you know, because she's from the South, she doesn't actually have
North
like that
Carolina.
Whole sort of like Southern accent."
But she has,
but she's got twang.
Yeah, she got a little twang.
So,
but she was in on it yesterday because she was videoing us as we were choreographing this. So we went up to the roof on our hotel, which has an amazing view, and we went up by the pool, which has like a
it's like an infinity. It's a sick pool.
It's a sick pool with a deck, and you know, we dressed. As we do, and I came up in my stilettos, and we
Hopefully
had
the,
those
video.
Were like literally probably the best 2 hours of my week.
No,
I laughed so you know when you laugh so hard that you just can't. It's like it hurts your stomach. That was us.
And like, when she says 2 hours, it was definitely like 2 hours
yes.
that she had me working on this dance, overachieving.
And it became so much, like, it's a great dance. You guys are going to love it. We posted it on our socials, so if you missed it, I'm sorry. But it was all the outtakes, because Johnny didn't take out his weave from earlier in the day when we had our show.
And guys, we needed this. So, you know, despite we're always ourselves and we always do our best work and we like to keep it completely natural. I mean, aside from, you know, the makeup and the hair and the clothes, we like to be ourselves when we're on TV. But still, it was, you know, there was a lot of pressure. It was our first night.
We were tired.
It was the first night on primetime TV. And, you know, we had some little nerves about us, some butterflies. But then we really just needed a good laugh. And I didn't see it coming just because I was like... I gave everything and Tara gave everything for
our broadcast.
It was
like one of those moments because it's like you wait for yours. You put so much energy into it and it goes so perfectly. And then all of a sudden you come home and you have like dead brain and dead eyes and you like need some sort of pick me up.
And then Tara pushes you to achieve. So,
Johnny was too tired to take his weave out and it was falling out.
As
we were dancing.
I was dancing too hard. I mean, I had the rhythm that just would not quit.
It would not quit. And there was one point where we were dancing and we realized that like his hair was on the floor.
Like belatedly. We hadn't even seen it.
Yeah, we hadn't seen it. And then there was one where you were dancing and I saw it coming up, but I was so committed to finishing. And then I had to like break down because it was like flying out of his head and I had to pull it out of his hair on this video.
Oh, yeah.
And then my heel.
Tara got stuck in the deck.
I got stuck in the deck. Like literally we had had to pull the heel out.
I mean, luckily you didn't break your ankle.
I mean, I didn't even think about that.
I mean, it legit could have happened, especially with what a hypochondriac you were, but she was so driven by the work, she didn't even notice that she could have hurt herself.
So anyway, we had such good laughs over this video.
Crying, hardcore belly laughs.
On the deck floor.
Wow. It was ridiculous, and hopefully you guys will have seen it by now. But if not, then you'll see it soon on a TV near you, our full dance performance. All right, honey, so we watched the opening ceremony last night.
Yes, in our PJs.
On TV. We cried when Team USA walked in.
Yes, they had these beautiful snow angels, we called them, in these, like, glorious, like, white, glittery costumes with these very stiff skirts and magical wands. And they were the people that would walk in front of the countries and hold up their sign. So we loved them. We loved the ending, which was superstar Yuna Kim.
Yes.
The pride of South Korea.
The pride of South Korea.
And she lit the torch, which was so cool. So at the very end of the show, she's up there on her little skating rink, and then she lit the torch.
Yeah, I mean, guys, legit, she was so big. Well, I mean, she is so big in South Korea. But during her career, she would sell out buildings in 5 minutes just for doing an ice show. She, Tara's getting comfy and unzipping her pants because we just took a small break so she could eat a sandwich. Kim Yuna, she's so popular that she could probably run for president and win in South Korea. Like, she's just a huge, huge star. But anyway, she lit the cauldron. And to see a fellow skater do that, it was very special.
It was. And then what else happened during opening?
The guy from Togo that was in Rio that, like, showed up. You know, Togo, it's a small island nation in the South Pacific.
He
was so oily. And guys,
it is freezing.
freezing.
Here.
Like, even us, we're down by the beach. And it is probably 15 degrees warmer down here than it is up in the mountains where the events are happening. And it's so cold. I have to go out in full duvet coat that goes down to ankle with hood on it. And it's freezing.
He did that, I really don't have any idea.
And poor Team Bermuda walking in their Bermuda shorts. I mean, they were a team of three strong. And, but, you know, Tara and I both got really teared up when USA walked in, because it was just like, USA, come through, honey. It was like 3,000 Americans just running in. And you see all these smaller countries that don't have the same sporting history or whatever. So you see, like, Togo or small African nations, or Montenegro, Macedonia, all of these small countries come in, and they've got 5 athletes or 3 athletes, 10 athletes. And then the USA comes in 300 strong. And it represents all walks of American life. I mean, you've got different ethnicities, you've got gay dudes, you've got lesbians, you've got, young, short, tall, old,
It was
everyone.
Awesome to watch. We loved it.
Yeah, and the opening ceremonies is one of those memories that I look back at, and I don't think I appreciated it enough when I was actually having it, especially at my first Olympics, but I didn't appreciate it enough. I was sort of, I was appreciative in a way that I was excited to be there, but I was like, okay, I've got practice tomorrow. I've got to get home.
Right.
Like, I was sort of rushing through it, but now it's like, I'm a geriatric. I watch, and it's just, it's awesome to see these people, and, you know, we're not so much older than them, but to see them having the moments of their lives, and it brings back so many good memories.
I remember walking in, and I was on someone's shoulders.
Where else would you be?
I know. I was just so into it, and it was so cool. Just everything seems so big when you walk into that arena. It's like, you know, you skate in so many ice skating arenas that seem big, but an opening ceremony arena is like ginormous. Just one of those overwhelming feelings. You feel so small, and it's just like you're wearing your coat and like USA and red, white, and blue. And I mean, you know me, so
yeah.
I was in my glory.
Yeah, just living. But I mean, that was pretty incredible, and you know, it made me really look forward to the rest of the time we're going to spend.
I know, we're just getting started.
Yeah,
it's happening, guys.
I mean, I know it probably seems like we've been here for a year already. And sometimes it does for us too, but, you know, there's so much more skating to do. There's so much more work that we've got to put in, and we're you know, we're going to end this podcast now just because we have to get to bed. Tomorrow we have to wake up and give
early
you guys
morning.
Prime time television. So we're so thankful to all of you, all of our new listeners that are tuning in, all of our new fans that are with us on social media. We couldn't be more thankful. We're so appreciative to you. And, you know, there are literally quadrillions of you out there.
Number jumped.
Yeah, the number jumped real hard while we were here. But
on that note.
Yeah, we are so excited. Until next time, we love you so much. And bye.
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.